Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
My Facebook Live was off, disconnected. And so let's get everybody, get your drums, table, chair, pot, whatever you have. Let's do this together. Our intention is to bring unity, more love to planet Earth when we come together every Sunday night to bring the drum in and the Bekashe music and the words that say unity. We're calling on the angels. We're calling on the Creator. We're calling on Yeshua. Bring us together.
And let's let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
With your God, rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The rules of injustice are being healed by the peace of Yahweh.
We're bringing the power to unity. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Trouble, come alive.
Yeah, wake up, you sleeping giant.
Your heart, we are feeling.
Your heartbeat.
Tonight. Hallelujah. This is such an important topic. I didn't realize how important it was. I was reading, welcome. I'm Viata. We're on Soul Purpose Healing Facebook Live. I'm not StreamYarding tonight because I'm on my phone, which gives me a better, clearer picture, clearer reception. So praise y'all for all the things that are working well tonight. But the funny thing is about this topic, R. Kelly, pros and cons of being a groupie, which is the women, and maybe some men, I don't know, and hashtag we too, is I was watching an astrology report by Tanya Gabrielle. Oh, my goodness, you got to go hear this. It is just amazing. I couldn't even finish it because I had to come on here and do a show. But just what she was saying about Mars being a sacred masculine, Venus being the planet of divine feminine, and these planets are active along with Mercury and retrograde and all this, and it's a time to balance the divine feminine and divine masculine energy. Woohoo! And divine feminine energy is in men as much as it is in women. And it's time, according to Gabrielle, the astrologer, the expert on the planetary movements and the reporter for all that's good in the cosmos and whatever, explaining what's going on in my life where I've had to slow down everything. I'm just waiting for things to happen. She says it's time to bring peace and balance. In this period that we're in, where Mercury's in retrograde, Mars is sacred masculine, Venus is the planet of sacred feminine, divine feminine. And so we've got all this amazing cosmic energy right now, today, tonight. And then moving into, she gives a report, moving into the new moon, you're going to see stuff happening. And so what this is telling us is that it's time for harmony between the divine feminine and masculine. And that includes R. Kelly, this amazing soul that has blessed us with this beautiful music all these years, and the groupies who are addicted to sex. So we're going to talk, if you got kids in the room and this is going to be maybe an R-rated, could get X, I don't know, depends on where the comments go. But let's just be free to express yourselves about the R. Kelly pros and cons of being a groupie. And it's really about, as I was looking for audios to play and information and knowledge, it's really about addiction to sex. How does that happen? Well, I found a few really good audios that we can start with just to give us a foundation from experts and people who study this all the time. I found a really good article or audio about the cause of addictions. We're going to listen to that. But first, for those of you who may not know who R. Kelly is, you're like, who's R. Kelly? Who cares? Let me just introduce you to the latest news about R. Kelly, that he was convicted of 9 charges. That number 9 is really significant in my mind, and maybe a few of you will be thinking, 9 charges? Really? There was another number that came up with the 9, and when I think of it, I'll let you know. Some of you may know some other numbers, but I think it just goes along with the fact that this beautiful soul, R. Kelly, Shep Smith said 11. Oh, you'll hear 11 and 3 come up in this description of the 9 charts. Shep Smith is talking to some reporter. For those, this is basically a two-minute explanation of why he was convicted of 9 charges. And then we're going to go fly from there because I got the intention tonight. The intention tonight is to bring some harmony between the divine feminine and masculine. Because when you listen to the news reporting anything, you have to have a real filter on what their agenda is. And they've been wanting to put black men in dresses and crucify Bill Cosby and all this for all kinds of reasons. So you really got to listen carefully. What's the agenda here for this brother that ain't killed nobody? But Fauci and company are murdering the planet. So let's just listen carefully on the 9 charges.
R. Kelly is going to prison. The question is, for how long? A jury today convicted the R&B star on all counts, all 9 of the racketeering and sex trafficking charges against him. They found R. Kelly guilty of being the ringleader of a decades-long scheme to recruit and groom women, underage girls, and boys to sexually exploit them for his own benefit. Prosecutors argued during a 6-week trial that he used his fame and his money to lure his victims, then control their lives, forcing them to have sex with him, even that he knowingly gave them herpes. The jury deliberated for less than 10 hours total, 4 on Friday, 5 plus today. His sentencing set for May the 4th, he could get up to life in prison. David Henderson now, civil rights attorney, CNBC contributor. David, as a special crimes prosecutor, you prosecuted cases similar to this one over and over. Explain why racketeering here and what it means as a conviction.
Chef, having prosecuted these, they're very difficult cases to win when you only have one victim during the trial because juries always find a way to second-guess people. The advantage of trying it as a racketeering charge is you're saying it's a criminal enterprise where Kelly was promoting his music and his brand to exploit people. So the jury got to hear from 11 different people and 45 total witnesses for crimes spanning 3 decades.
R. Kelly could be facing, it looks to me like, up to 140 years in prison. How does sentencing for something like this typically play out?
Well, Shep, it's hard to say because you don't see cases like this one very often. I would say if this were the only case, he'd be looking at enough time to probably keep him behind bars for the rest of his life. But you have to remember, there are 2 more cases coming after this one, another federal suit and a state court suit in Illinois. When you combine those 3, the likelihood of him seeing daylight again, almost non-existent.
But what about an appeal? Does he have grounds? Is there a case?
You know, Chef, the rule is when the feds come after you, they've pretty much already got you. And so just watching the way this trial was handled, I think it's locked up pretty tight. And even if it wasn't, you can dodge 1 silver bullet. Nobody dodges 3. So I don't think an appeal is likely, but if one did succeed, they still got 2 more shots.
R. Kelly, guilty on all counts. David Henderson, thank you.
R. Kelly, guilty on all counts. Now, it's always interesting to see men of pale face with these kind of statements and analysis. And we got, as I said, Fauci and company, Gates and the whole government is murdering people, in my opinion. And when they get them in jail, I'll say, well, maybe R. Kelly got a fair trial. Hallelujah. No, not happening. Tonight, we want to talk about sexual addiction because most of us know R. Kelly's history. of abuse, sexual abuse as a child, and that's where this all starts. The question tonight is, and R. Kelly, we're not saying he wasn't guilty of what did he say, exploiting his music and his whole business for the sake of what, sexual pleasures, whatever. He went crazy with that peeing on women, whatever. We've heard the stories. Because women decided to highlight R. Kelly, not themselves. They're the victims. I hate that word, victim, because really, when you're talking soul purpose healing, we don't have victims, but people like to stay in the victim mind because they get an ego boost from that and all kind of benefits. And the pros of being a groupie is that you're just a beautiful female interest, and you can get some money and sex out of it and cocaine and whatever comes out of being a groupie. But when it comes to staying in that environment and in that role of groupie too long, guess what? You're gonna suffer, because that's not who divine feminine energy is supposed to be about. So we want to dive into the groupie aspect, because we've been highlighting R. Kelly and all his mishaps. The man is just, I just want to say, I wish they would get some rehabilitation for him in prison. But like Mom, I think it's Mom AZ or somebody always says he's going to vacation Bible school. Maybe. We don't know. He's going to appeal. Maybe he'll pass, get out of the racketeering charges. It just sounds so horrible, racketeering. Oh, he's such a horrible person. Did anybody die in his racketeering business? I want to know, did anybody lose their life in his racketeering business? Like we're seeing the people being murdered today with an injection from Big Pharma. So we're going to put this in perspective. Why do groupies do what they do? I was a groupie at one time. When I got out of college, I was wild and free, and I love music. And there are some musicians who make a woman wet in her pants. Let's just be honest. There's some musicians who can sing like R. Kelly. The music and all of that just makes you horny and just makes you stimulate you and just makes you want to do crazy things, like go to bed with somebody and get some thrill out of that. But I've got an audio I want to play about what the attorney said on this about groupies. I think they're back in 2019. His attorneys were maybe the first to actually bring up groupies. You don't want to talk about the groupies, but that's a reality that the women had turned on. The women turned on R. Kelly, highlighted his behavior, and then they became the victims who needed the money, who be paid the money in this case to make documentaries and all kind of craziness. So listen to how the attorneys describe this case for R. Kelly, trying to support him and all, but they really do bring out a truth that not many people want to talk about.
Labeling people for what they may be is what the government does. That's part of their indictment process. They come up with a series of things they call facts or from their investigation, and then they decide to say, this is a label we're going to attribute. And they have to prove that. It's the government's burden to prove that. It's not against the rules for us to then look at the same set of facts and have a different description of what people are. When I call these people groupies, I mean, it almost fits the definition. Traveling with the band, going to see the band, wanting to be with the band, that is the definition of a groupie, right? Whether they're disgruntled or they're showing groupie remorse is a position I take. And I think the facts are going to bear out that you have people who voluntarily were engaged in wanting to hang around with a group. Now, the way the government paints it out to be an enterprise doesn't necessarily mean that R. Kelly was involved in a lot of these things, but that possibly people under him were, but they'll all want to point the finger upstairs. We're going to have to deal with that, but the discovery will help us break that down. I'll do this. That's like if someone say all press is completely horrible. You'd be like, whoa, whoa, why are you picking on me?
Someone does say that.
Yeah, someone does say
every
that.
Every day.
The president, yeah. So you would say, I don't want to be a part of that enterprise or that group, and you would want to prove why you shouldn't be, or that another reporter did something that you shouldn't be held liable for.
And remember, when you say we don't take it, we take this
incredibly seriously.
That's why we've got a large team. Yeah. We take it seriously. We're an advocate. We're advocates for our client. That's what we're going to do in the manner we feel is appropriate under the circumstances. But we take it seriously.
Doug, yes. did you expect the federal district judge to be persuaded by a David Lee Roth video? Is that really taking it seriously?
Well, I very much take David Lee Roth seriously sometimes, but no. The argument was not to take David Lee Roth seriously, but the concept that, you know, in the courts don't always see everything. They don't always understand every industry. So a good way, and this was just by happenstance, I happened to be on YouTube a couple of weeks ago when I saw this, the concept of what I'm trying to portray as took place, the groupie experience, is no better place explained than in that short interview. It explains the groupie experience and explains that it's a common thing. And you know, while some people may say, oh, well, that might not be applicable here, you'd be surprised how everybody says, yeah, that's exactly what the groupie experience is. And that's what we allege is what took place here. And along the way, nobody had anything bad to say about it until such time as there was a beating on the chest and a call to arms. Hey, remember that groupie experience you really enjoyed and loved? Well, guess what? That may be something that was bad for you. You want to talk about it? And here we are.
You look old enough to remember Men at Work,
yeah.
Right? You remember Men at Work? What was Men at Work's first big song? What was it called?
Yeah.
Money for Nothing and Your Chicks for Free. I got
she
my
was MTV. Just 17. You know what I mean?
Oh, Dire Straits.
Some bad stuff.
Dire Straits. I'm sorry.
Thank you for watching this video from...
I find that video Men at Work. I wanted to play that Money for Nothing and Chicks for Free. That's got to be interesting if you remember Money for Nothing. But we've got a caller, and so I'm going to open up the mic. But remember, our intention tonight is a planetary influence to bring the male, divine male and female together. But we've got to admit that we had a role in, we attract certain things in our life. There's pros and cons to being a groupie. And we haven't talked about that, but that's the reality in this whole R. Kelly. And the other reality is sexual addiction, which we're going to go into the cause of addictions, because both Kelly and his female entourage or whatever, groupie fans, they all had addictions to sex. Why else would you be participating in the intimacy between a man and a woman or whatever? And it got ridiculous, I'm sure, at some point, because they built up his ego. Any musician who becomes popular, selling a lot of records, making a lot of women get wet and horny and blah, 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 they're going to get a big ego. So that's what happens. This is a warning for all of us. When you get a big ego, what happens? You start doing crazy things in the bedroom, for one. Drugs involved. I wonder how many groupies were on drugs when they watch him sing and then they want to go to bed with him. And they just want to keep that up. Why? Because there's an addiction going there. We're going to talk about that tonight because there's so many addictions going on in our society. We don't even know where to begin with cell phones and sex and music and all that. But let me go to the phones before we go to our break and see what you have to say. Tonight is your night. We're here together collectively to bring harmony and peace and balance to the divine and masculine and femininity. And the planets are ruling right now, Mercury, Mars, Venus. They're speaking to us if you're listening, and this is why we're talking about R. Kelly, this amazing musician, and the women who hung around him wanting some sex with this beautiful musician. So 312-802, your mic is open. Welcome.
Yes, this is Melissa Ware in Chicago, Illinois. And my daughter is 52. When she was 18, she made me aware of R. Kelly. And she knew all about the fact that he had went to Kingwood High School here in Chicago and that he had difficulty in getting dates. But the minute he got into the record business and started becoming somewhat famous, she would tell me about him. And she said, Mom, I can tell you where he lives. And Aaliyah, who was his first underage companion, if you want to say groupies, the Caucasian girls did it too a lot. They would follow around the rock bands and what have you. So
oh, we're not discriminating at all.
Okay, but here we go. Let me finish. I took over there where he lived, and she knew where he lived. And she knew about Aaliyah, the first young woman that was underage. That I think he married or whatever, but she looks like a groupie for them too. We can also look as a former teacher, very difficult to have young male teachers because the young girls, when they get about 13, 12, they get real horny. And so young male teachers have difficulty is teaching in this way, because we have that experience also. So there's something about females, if they are not raised properly on their sexuality, they can get caught up in that masculine charismatic vibration of music. And music is a very enticing part of the universe. We can't help ourselves, and music is beautiful. So when young girls who have not been taught and trained get involved in grouping sessions and sexual sessions and they're underage, then the men, and they're doing their thing and not understanding themselves also sexually. But then you've got these adults who are the parents of these young girls, and then everybody just falling to the wayside for importance, money, and for gratification, especially money connected with the sexual ego. And that's what they do in psychology and all the marketing. That's part of it too, you know. First, yeah. Commercial they had with women in Manhattan smoking cigarettes, and we use sexuality. So we get caught up in the smoking thing way back in the 30s. They had these up, you know, and so it's a whole lot of dynamics going on here. So let's just say divine masculine coming from the creative universe into the human being form. We get caught up in a lot of five sense garbage, I call it, because we're not understanding who we really are, split souls coming in a body container as male, female. And these young girls are not being taught and trained, and the parents are going along with it. So, yeah, he got caught up. He got caught up because of his own history. And also these young girls who finally, where our parents is fabulous now. When he went to a period where he didn't have the attention that he had before.
So thank you, Minister Cynthia. Those are very wise and accurate words. And I want to throw in the word intimacy. When we are young, children, babies, toddlers, if we don't get the intimacy from our mothers and fathers, and that is the intimacy, I mean, eye-to-eye contact with children, hugging, affirmations from our parents, that's when addiction starts, is that we have missed the intimacy, the compassion, the love, the listening, the understanding, the validation as children. And that's where the addictions get started. And because this is all about, in my opinion, tonight at least, we're going to talk about the sexual addiction aspect of both the divine feminine and masculine that's so out of balance right now. Because we all, as adults, most of us have enjoyed sexual activity and pleasure. That's what we're here for on this earth, to experience the pleasure of all the things that the Creator gives us. But when it gets out of balance, as in R. Kelly and the groupies, it's because those people are in adult bodies with childhood behavior, childish behavior. They have not grown up to make decisions that don't have the severe consequences of getting herpes, for instance. Okay? How are you going to be having sex with a man who's doing what he's doing and being the way he's doing, and then you get herpes and, it's all his fault? Okay, ladies, time to take responsibility, consider the law of attraction, all these choices that women make, and then they want to blame somebody else for it. But I'm here to say the universe brings us these experiences to teach us lessons, not to blame people. Unless you got a huge ego, you take responsibility, you deal with the consequences, and then you move on and don't repeat the same mistakes. My executive producer, Naima Latif, is in the studio, and she's going to play some commercials for us. When we come back, I'll go to the phones again, 706-202-773-499. You're next after the break. Thank you, Naima.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Divine feminine and male energy. This is a perfect season with all that's going on in the planet. This is a perfect season to talk about the divine feminine and masculinity that is so out of bounds. These women did a documentary and turned R. Kelly in. They highlighted his behavior more than their own. Out of balance, honey. Out of balance, lady. Sorry, out of balance. Of course, his behavior is actually normal, not natural, but normal when you look at the history of his behavior because of the way he started out in his childhood, the traumas. If you listen to Dr. Gabor Mate talk about trauma and addiction, it all starts in childhood. So R. Kelly's behavior is perfectly normal when you don't get therapy along the way with uncles and aunts or professional. Perfectly normal. It's not natural because it's in the alignment with the creator and the planets and all that. It's totally out of balance, but it's normal for the type of childhood experience. And these women, if you look at the women, I'd like to know what kind of childhood experiences you had that you're going to jump in bed with somebody like many groupies of us did, because they stimulated us to the point of wanting us to get intimate with them. That's totally normal, natural behavior. But when it goes to the level that it went to, documentaries being made, R. Kelly this, R. Kelly that, we got a problem, and the planets are here to get it, help us straighten all this out. So who better to talk about this than Brother Kwame Sunhorse? Your mic is open, 706-202.
Good evening, Sister Viata.
Good evening, yes, Brother Kwame.
It is a very trying time, but we've been in this time since, you know, last year when we had the reset, the alignment of Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter. And that alignment brought about this transformation of energy from these planets. And then you have the alignment of Mars and Mercury gone retrograde and Venus is in that. So all of this cause, this galactic consciousness is bringing about what we're seeing happening with all of us on the planet, on Turtle Island and different places. But what R. Kelly is, Bill Cosby was the first as an elder. Now they got the young man who in essence is a Chicagoan. He's a black Al Capone, you want to say, racketeering and exploiting women. And the reason that the government charged him with racketeering is because then they can implement the RICO Act. Everything that he owns belongs to them. They can sell it off, and all of his wealth and accumulations belong to the government, and they get that money from it. But nobody's saying anything about the record companies that gave him these contracts and gave him these concerts and promoted all of this exploitation on stage for him to get these people following him and getting this herd mentality of young girls. And then you have the other thing that through media, you have everybody's carrying a phone, so you're now playing him and having him on all of these different apps that you can download. And so what you've done is that you've created another way, what you were talking about, Gabor Monte is talking about, that, you know, that dopamine, that pleasure center that is turned on by phone, not turned on by human. And this is the other part of what we're looking at, that now we have such an instrument that they can use to really activate our children at a very young age, because they're getting young kids now in middle school and whatever sending porn to each other. I'll take a selfie of mine if you take a selfie of yours. So these are the tools that they're doing to exploit the generations that are coming, and even to the point where their virtual reality is the thing in which they're doing, that you could put on the glasses and choose whatever woman you want, and you have that whole foreplay in those glasses in your head, having that whole action without having another human being. And that's what you were talking about with Gabor. And that if you don't get the intimacy, even in the womb, if you have that turmoil that's going on with that mother and that child developing, that child comes into the world. And then the other thing that's key about men and what they're doing to young men when they come in the world, the first thing you do is remove the foreskin. You are not supposed to remove the foreskin because, number one, that's trauma. Number two, you open up that sensation that is not supposed to be opened up until he reaches the age of adolescence. And he's being trained how to use that stimulation. But you remove that foreskin and you expose that area of his genitals to sensations that they don't have no idea of what's going on in their bodies with the stimulation of his phallus being exposed. So we've got a lot of things in which we're looking at by design. And the other thing that's happening with it, like you said, Gabor is talking about sex addiction. If sex addiction was a thing, you could take a nympho and you can take a sex addict and put them together and you solve the problem, but that's not the problem. The problem is for male energy is the domination, and the other part of most females have been molested, male and female, but more so young females. And so they have a trauma that's gone to them, but then again, they've awakened a nature in them that they don't know what to do with yet. You have all of these variables that you put into the mix, and you have what has just been convicted as R. Kelly.
Yes, and I think what Kwame has just described is there's a lot of guilt to go all around, from the producers to the women, to the mothers, the fathers, and yet here they're going to put R. Kelly out there as the one who's guilty, and he's going to go to prison. So thank you, Kwame. I'll leave your mic open, but let me go to another caller here, 773-499. Your mic is open. Welcome. Give us your name. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, good evening. This is Koopy. How y'all doing?
Good evening, Koopy. How are you? You're in Chicago. R. Kelly's favorite town?
Unfortunately, I went on tour with R. Kelly. Me and R. Kelly grew up in the back of the days, and back in the 90s. And,
did he say unfortunately?
Well, now, because I really can't talk about it a lot anymore.
Why not?
Because it puts judgment on me. Well, it puts judgment on me. Girls tell me, you shouldn't tell nobody you work with R. Kelly, you know, because it kind of shuns me. But my experience with him, especially going on tour down in Atlanta, I saw the parents throwing their children at R. Kelly, where he had to actually get us to the after party. You have to sign the application saying that you were 18 years old. So he knew the borderline what he was dealing with. But I actually sat down with him and had enough courage to kind of say, hey, bro, you know, this sexual stuff, pulling down your pants at the shows. Because guess who's at his shows? Young girls. It wasn't young girls. Just out of 20,000, it might be 10 men. And the rest of them, parents are just dropping off their children, telling, you better meet R. Kelly tonight. You better meet R. Kelly tonight. And
why would parents want their girls to meet R. Kelly? Can we all have an answer for that one? Why would the parents want their children to meet R. Kelly? What's the pros and cons of that one?
R. Kelly, it was a pay to play with him, okay? It was a play with him. And they knew that. Parents knew that. You know, inside the after party upstairs, you know, you had the hotel lobby, then you had the upstairs in the hotel. And I remember him saying, all right, I'm about to turn on this music. And he turned on Aaliyah's music. He said, y'all ain't dancing, y'all got Aaliyah, right? As soon as he turned on the music, guess what the woman started doing?
Taking off their clothes.
And he turned the music off and said, no, not that type of dancing. But if the girls had this mindset, well, if I'm around R. Kelly, he's gonna want to lay down with me because that's who says his song.
Let me read you something because you said something key, the mindset, if they had a mindset. I read this devotion. It's a one-sentence devotion that says, it was in the book Along the Path to Enlightenment. It said, conflict exists in the mind of the observer and not in that which is observed. You have to think about it. It's a deep words there. Conflict exists in the mind of the observer and not in that which is observed. So you're so right about that. The mindset of there was no conflict as long as your mind says okay. But you want to look at R. Kelly and say he was the conflict. No. Your mind about this person is where the conflict starts, is in your mind. So that's an important point.
He was a sacrifice. They made him a sacrifice because they're trying to give him a life sentence. You know, for this case out in New York.
Yeah, like Tommy said, there's some action going to follow if he gets guilty, if he gets racketeering, they're going to take away his assets. That's what they do to men, yep. Especially
women. But I'll sit down and I'll stop talking because I don't want to talk too much, but they're knocking on my door. But I kind of was a really religious guy. I got him to start listening to gospel music after his concerts because he knew he was kind of stuck. Because the record label, like Kwame said, wanted him to do sexual songs. He don't get to select the songs that goes on a CD. He got to send in 60 songs to the record company, and they decide what goes on a CD. So if you're going to put out something that's wholesome and righteous, they're not going to put it on a CD. But that's what he really wanted to do. But he's locked out and made into a sex symbol. And that was the call from Aaliyah's uncle, Barry Hankerson, who was married to Gladys Knight. He's the one responsible for sexing up, making R. Kelly a sex symbol. And I think that's why he lost the lead. He's the one who did it. And he knows.
Right. Thank you, Kooky, for those comments. Of course, it's money. It's a money-making business. Hollywood, music industry, all of that, once you get sucked into that whole system, money, sex, crime, you know, all the things that the person thinks is coming, that's when I don't know, who's that? Mama AZ, you had a bad echo or something. Turn something, you need to turn something off, I think. Maybe, Mama AZ, your mic is open, but you got a lot of noise going on.
Can you hear me, Dr. Z?
Yeah, but it's an echo. When
okay.
I talk, something else go on, like the Facebook and...
Okay, it's a lot of disturbance. I don't have anything on or anything. It's a lot of disturbance.
Go ahead and talk. I don't talk as much. Okay, that's better. Go ahead. I don't hear it now. Go ahead.
Okay. This is a very interesting topic. I'm at home, family. Don't know what's going to happen. I couldn't get into my doggone apartment because I didn't have my key, and the manager has issues, and a Caucasian woman had to call to get me entrance to my goddamn apartment, and I'm pissed, y'all. But I didn't mean to say that. I just don't know what this is all about. But what I really wanted to say, these are some very interesting times. And thank you, Brother Kwame, for sharing about R. Kelly's assets and why they are railroading him up that highway to the Vacation Bible School and with in that process. You know, Dr. V, we as a people, we got to do some healing and come to some harmony. I don't know how these issues came to the forefront, but my brother, he's not well now, and he's dealing with some issues because he believes that the Bible is the all in all and what have you, you know, and he doesn't think that anything else has any value to it but that goddamn Bible and the Christianity church and all of this. But what I'm saying is, Dr. B.
Getting off topic here. Let's get back on topic.
I apologize. It's a lot going on in my psyche right now. My brother shared with me, and I'm sharing this with the family and whoever else is listening, we got a lot of issues that we have to heal from. My brother shared with me that my mom, apparently he was being groomed. And my mother, because he was well, you know, endowed or whatever, she took him to things like Deep Throat. And I love my mother. Please do not, family, take this out of context. But it goes to show you the psyche of some of us, what's going on, how these things emerge. I don't know. It's beyond me. It's affecting my brother. And I see it. And I couldn't believe he was saying these things to me, but he was. And there's a lot of other things that I don't care to share right now. But we, as a people, we have to be mindful, especially women, you know, how we treat and groom our sons. It's not all the men doing things to push the males down the wrong avenue. It's the mothers and women, and just like R. Kelly. I had to share that. We have to find a way to resolve this. We have to find a way, family, to resolve these things.
That's why I'm here tonight. Thank you, Mama AZ. That's very powerful. That's a very very important relative testimony about your brother and his mother. And that's why R. Kelly is not guilty. He lived a normal life, not natural, but normal life because of the influence of the people, the adults in his childhood that we are still trying to overheal. And yes, healing. That's why we're here. It's time for us to heal the divine masculine and feminine in all of us. I have divine masculine in me. I'm healing. There's so many things that I need to take charge of and be authoritative over and make decisions. That's the divine masculine part of me, whether it's the feminine that behaves another way. But you're so right, Mama AZ, about how your brother is finding, let me say this. I'm going to mute some mics here. Your brother is finding peace in the Bible. So don't be too hard on him, because there's a pain body. There's a pain body in a lot of us who grew up with those type of adult influences who took us off track from the divine purpose that we were meant to be on. And so we have people like Mama AZ's brother using the Bible for comfort. It's okay. Do whatever you need. These days, with all the insanity of our government and the pharma and all the insanity, all this fear and ignorance out there, whatever you need to bring you peace and keep you from committing suicide and going off and being angry, do it. Do it. Read the Bible all day if that's what brings you peace. Go ahead. And we need to be more compassionate about people like that in our lives, because that's their pain. That's how they're dealing with pain. If you got to have sex every day with every hour with your wife or something, do whatever brings you the peace that we all are looking for right now in these very difficult times. I had a caller here, but I don't know what happened to him. Okay, somebody pressed one, and then they went, oh, okay, here we go. 773, I think that's you. 366, your mic is open. Welcome.
Hey, it's Naeem.
Oh, Naeem, you're on a different phone.
Yeah, I'm on a different phone. I wasn't going to call in. But, you know, when the show came on, I was in the car with my daughter, and she was listening to, you know, your opening statements, and she just became livid. I mean, you know how people listening to something, they're arguing back at the radio, and I said, well, you know, Zakiya, just call in. Express your point of view. No, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything. But, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, Zakiya, you have to say your point of view, then no one will hear it. But I don't want to say anything. But you know what? I'm like, Zakiya, you know, why don't you tell them? So she was just too angry to express her thought. But she definitely has a thought about this. So first I'm going to, you know, just kind of share her perspective on this. And that perspective is that R. Kelly was a grown man taking advantage of children. And it was known even during high school days that there would be warnings, you know, okay, R. Kelly goes to Kenwood, you know, he hangs around looking for young girls, be careful. And her position is that as a grown man, he had responsibility to control his own sexuality, and nobody else can be blamed for what he chose to do. He is responsible for taking advantage of children, assaulting children, abusing children, and he should be tried as a criminal. And yes, black men do criminal things as well. And everybody who hurt somebody should be held accountable for what they did. And he's a grown man. And he made that choice. So that was, in a nutshell, her point of view on that. Now, as I look at it, from my perspective and my generation, I do hear sounds that give me the impression that our generation and probably the generation before us has some severe issues with our sexuality. And it often comes out sounding, when these kinds of cases come up, it ends up sounding like elder women having hostility toward younger sexually involved women, condemning them for their sexuality. So as Mama AZ said, we have a lot of healing to do. And I think not just black people. I think this is a global issue. We have been distorted in our understanding of sexuality and acceptance of sexuality, and therefore it gets distorted and misused and abused and condemned because we don't have a healthy understanding of sexuality, period, as a human race. And we're the only species on the planet that got issues with our reproductive organs and how they function and when they should function. We're the only species on the planet that got sex problems. So we have to look at where that comes from, and some of it does come from the Bible and other religious teachings that teach body shame. And is there any other species on the planet that got a shame issues of their bodies? So we need a healthy understanding of sexuality so that it doesn't end up getting perverted and distorted and used for abusive means. And I recommend a book, and I've recommended this book before, and somebody said, oh, that makes me, that title is terrible. But it does highlight the fact that our understanding of sexuality is twisted and distorted and disconnected from our spirituality. And the name of this book is Making Love to God, A Path to Divine Sex. And the author, Tina Louise Spaulding, you need to look it up. It is a book that I highly recommend to help correct misunderstandings and misteachings about sexuality, because this is where it starts. And we end up attacking people for being sexual, and we think there's something correct about that. And then we produce men and women who have problems with their sexuality because we've brought them up in whether it's shame, fear, condemnation, whatever it is, it's inappropriate to connect with sexuality, which is your direct connection to the divine. And that's not taught in our spiritual teachings, and that's the number one problem. So that's my thought. I know we got to take a commercial break soon, but I think that this situation highlights our sickness when it comes to our own sexuality and the fact that it gets distorted and misused. And one last thing, and I think Brother Kwame brought it up. Yeah, this man was rich, and they're going to take him to the cleaners because they want control of his assets. That's anybody who gets in trouble and has money, that's the doorway for people to come and take your stuff. You open the door, that's what happens. So, again, I do have to, in a sense, agree with my daughter on the fact that he's a grown man who made choices. And whatever happened to you in your childhood, whatever happened to you in your adulthood, you still have a choice. You can either choose to be dysfunctional or you can choose to get help. And whatever your choices are, you are going to experience the consequences of those choices. And that's all I have to say on that. Thank you for this topic. I think we need to talk about it.
Tell me your daughter's name again.
Zakiya.
Zakiya. Zakiya is absolutely right. I wouldn't debate her at all on this. She's absolutely right. She is a perfect example of this meditation I just read about. Conflict exists in the mind of the observer. Zakiya is the observer. Let's just say we're going to use this meditation and then we'll go to the break. Zakiya is the observer. This meditation from David Hawkins, who's a doctor, he's an amazing metaphysical, spiritual teacher. He says conflict exists in the mind of the observer. Zakiya is one of those observers that says he's guilty. Everything is being directed to R. Kelly as the conflict, right? If it weren't for R. Kelly, those women would not have suffered. If it weren't for R. Kelly, those women would not have had to go through whatever they went through. You know, those women would... he's guilty. Everybody says he knows he's guilty. They got enough highlighted evidence from the women and everybody else that says, yeah, he's guilty. We're not debating that at all. He's guilty. The issue is not in that which is observed. The conflict is not in R. Kelly. It's in Zakiya's mind. There's a conflict in her mind and so many others that we should not have people like this free. They should be in prison. And the conflict that we're talking about tonight is that's your belief system. My belief system says we need to put him in rehab because he didn't kill anybody. My belief system says when you've got a system
like we have, where our government is trying to mandate chemical, pharmaceutical injections in the people that some people are dying from. Over 14,000 people have died. They have lost their life. So we've got a system that's killing people. R. Kelly behaved in a way that caused a little suffering and sex and money issues with women. But that's my belief system. Zakiya doesn't think that's okay. Zakiya has a different, he's guilty, he needs to go to jail. Women got hurt, women were bruised, women, but nobody died that I know of. So my belief system says, no, let's put him in rehab. Put him in a year rehab and get some counseling and let him make some music while he's in there of repentance and all that. But other people, oh, no, he's the problem. I'm observing him. And in my mind, he needs to go to jail. He needs to suffer. He needs to be in prison for life. He needs to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, we need to put Fauci and Gates and Biden and all those people in jail for killing all these people. So
well, you know what? I have to say this one thing, though, Viata. Nobody was ever forced to take that injection. Even they made choices, and they had an opportunity to make a decision not to. No one made them. They might have urged. They might have strongly coerced. But the bottom line is you always have a choice to say no. And if they chose to do it and they died, that was still their choice.
So here's where we are, Naima. We need to balance all this energy. What's the energy driving people to take an injection? Fear and ignorance. So we're here to balance that. We every day, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we go to Female Solutions, brings knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to help balance the energy, because it's all energy, right? The fear is energy. The ignorance is energy. That's what's driving people to take these injections. So, yeah, nobody forced them, but the fear and the fear and the ignorance about, oh, well, I don't know what else to do. I could lose my job. Oh, I don't know. My children, they actually are telling women in New York, this is what I heard, if you have a baby, you cannot take your baby home unless you get a vaccine. What the fuck? It's like, really? That's how insane this whole energy thing is getting. So, yeah, nobody's forcing them, but you better make some decisions about whether you want to have your baby in a hospital if they're going to be mandating that kind of foolishness. They're going to keep your baby at home.
This is what this whole exercise is about, for us to take back our sovereignty, stop giving it away to institutions, stop letting other people tell us how to live. This is our lesson. Stop giving away your power. Take responsibility for your own life. Everybody needs to learn that. And those who are choosing to get the shot, and if they die or have other negative consequences, that's a lesson for them to learn. Take responsibility for your body. Take responsibility for the knowledge that will sustain your body and your health. Stop giving away your power to other institutions. Everybody on the planet has to learn that lesson, because we are the ones who allow ourselves to be controlled by other entities. Nobody's making us do this. Nobody's making us do anything. We do it out of our own fear, and nobody is making us make any decision but us.
And that's why we're here to educate people and bring consciousness, raise people's consciousness, because you're right. Nobody's forcing you to do anything, but if you have this low level of consciousness and you're operating in a low frequency of fear and ignorance, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to suffer consequences. And do we want R. Kelly to be in a prison for doing something that didn't cause death to anyone? Yeah, some people say, yeah, he's guilty. There's a conflict here. He's guilty. He needs to go to prison. Other people are like defending him in every way because he hasn't killed anybody. That's my point. He hasn't killed. Let's put people like him in rehab and help him make some more good music. And Kwame Sunhorse, you wanted your mic open, and then we're going to go to a break. Kwame, are you on mute, Kwame?
Yeah, I'm on mute. Thank you. But what I'm hearing is we're defining mental illness. He's a sick man.
Yes.
He's got a learned behavior that sickness. Yes, he's an adult. Yes, he did those things, what was wrong. But how did that come about for that man to get to that point of being to where he is? What happened to him as a child hey, hurt people, hurt people. But what we're looking at is an illness, and then you have a system that kills and nobody gets punished because you got the complexion for the protection and you got
that's
the
right.
bank account to get you out. So
right.
I'm looking at this, and yes, what Naeem is saying is that we all have choices, but if you have to choose that either I take this or my family doesn't eat, how do you get to a system that would do that to a human being to put you in a fear that you can't be able to survive unless you submit? That's the form. All that is a new slave trade, is that if you don't do what Massa say, Massa going to take you away and beat you or do something to you. And we've got to understand that this is a design system. This has all been planned in order to get to people to submit their will, and that's what a slave is. When you submit your will, right, you have the choice not to, but then you have the choice of what is the environment that you are in that is not being able to allow you to find the ways to take care of yourself, to have your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those are choices, and those are very serious choices that human beings are now facing on this Turtle Island and around the world, because they're wanting your will to submit to the powers that be. Those 465 billionaires that were made from 2020 to 2021 that made, that went from $8 trillion, look at Forbes magazine, $1 trillion in 2020 to $13 trillion right now today. They're making money while everybody else is suffering.
And if you watch that documentary, Social Dilemma, you realize how sophisticated their plan and their system is. We're not playing with inexperienced people who don't really know what they're doing. This is a very sophisticated, according to that Social Dilemma, everybody should watch Social Dilemma on YouTube or Netflix to realize how sophisticated this whole system is to manipulate all of us to make choices that we really don't want to make, but they're mind controlling and forcing people to do things that they don't even want to do because we're addicted. So when we come back, we're going to get to the cause of addiction and hear from a woman who had a sex addiction struggle and how she dealt with that. So, Naeema, do I need to open up your other phone?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to close this one. Let's see, we got two phones going. So I'm going to open up. Naeema's going to take us into the second break. When we come back, we're going to talk about these addictions and how they got started and how we need to work on it to bring balance to the female and male divine energy. Thank you, Naeema.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naeema Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
The human being, the soul called R. Kelly, and the pros of and cons of being a groupie, someone who adores and idolizes the superstars and wants to have sex and intimacy with them. So, the comment that Naima made about her daughter's point of view being different from what we were talking about and earlier in the show is because of belief systems. We have conflict about topics because of people's mind and the way they believe. And when you believe that R. Kelly is totally guilty, needs to go to prison because women suffer, that's a belief system that does not take into account the history of sex addiction, not just with R. Kelly, but with the women too. So we're going to come back. We have a caller. Okay, let me take this caller, and then I want to go into the cause of addiction. Because if we don't deal with that, we're going to continue to think R. Kelly is the problem. R. Kelly, we have a conflict with R. Kelly. No, we have a conflict with a system that creates this type of behavior, including parents who are ignorant and the addictions that parents had, drugs, alcohol that parents had, and raised children who think that the way to ease their pain is sex. And the way to ease that pain, if you're successful, you can get any sex from any woman you want because you have money and you have charisma. And those women, by the way, these people keep calling these women children. My grandmother started having children when she was 15 years old. So we have a different belief system going here today in this society that a woman is a girl at 15. Let's grow up, people. Some 15-year-old girls are just as adult as any 20, 40, 30-year-old. Some women mature faster than others. So let's not call all these women who were in R. Kelly's entourage or in his bedroom girls. They were fully adult women if they were having sex with an adult man. They weren't girls playing with dolls, I don't think. So Naima said we have a caller. So Naima, your mic's open again for your caller in the studio at the Female Solution.
Yeah, L.A. in Central Florida.
Hello,
I got
LA.
A different
How
take
are you?
On it. Fine. I got a different take on this. I agree with my grandmother
right
on my mother's side. My grandmother on my mother's side, she was married at 15 and started to have children. Yeah, she had seven of them. And more contemporary times, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones, Ted Nugent, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, New Kids on the Block, and Hugh Hefner, among many others, all of them had sex with young women. But nobody took them to court like this. And I don't know what R. Kelly did or didn't do. I'm not here for that. But I think the common denominator with R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, and Bill Cosby is it's called capitalism. all of those went, all of the prime mistake that those three guys made, in my opinion, is they got involved with people who had less than they had to lose. I mean, they didn't have anything to lose. Whereas with R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, and Michael Jackson cases, all those people that the accusers, once again, I don't know who's guilty or what happened or whatever, but the common denominator is a lot of these people were trying to get on the come up. And even, and I'm sure a prosecutor said, well, you know, we can sue him on the civil side and you might get some money, but his funds will be exhausted way before that anyway. But that's my take on it. The bottom line is these people on a critical mass basis were trying to get on the come up. And he was low-hanging fruit. I mean, the nail that sticks out gets hit. Those are my comments.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, L.A. And you might have people that don't disagree. Why? Because they don't have that belief system about the whole system. You know, we have to get a bigger view, overstanding, a bigger viewpoint on this whole R. Kelly thing. If you're just looking at R. Kelly abuse women in the bedroom, that's a very narrow point of view, very narrow point of view. Let's look at the cause of addiction and broaden our viewpoint, because this is not just about R. Kelly abusing women in the bedroom and taking advantage of little girls who are 15 years old or older. It's so much bigger than that, and that's why we're saying the whole intent tonight is to bring the energy of the energy of the divine feminine and masculine together. I'm going to play this, and then we'll come back to the caller. What is the cause of addiction? If we don't get that broader point of view, we're going to always be pointing the finger, criticizing, having conflict with people who behave like R. Kelly, and not understanding the deeper root of the problem.
Occasionally I hear people say, you know, if I'm going to have an addiction, the one that I want is a sex addiction. I want to be a sex addict. You'll never hear a sex addict say that, though. Someone that has struggled with that, you know, they don't see any glamour in it. It's not something that, you know, people laugh about on sitcoms. It's somebody who has been involved in behavior that has hurt them and hurt somebody else, and they want desperately to stop, and they've tried any number of things, been to doctors to say, I've got to have something to lower my sex drive, have been to therapists, have been to counselors, and they learn different communication techniques. They learn a number of other things and never really zero in on the sex addiction. But once they can zero in on the sex addiction and find out, first of all, this is a real disorder, and not only is it a disorder that is real, but it's treatable. And if it's treatable, they can get help. They can stop. What I want people to know from the first time that I sit down with them is there is hope. Usually when I sit with a person for the first time, they have a feeling of hopelessness, and they don't see any way to pick life up again and make it go. People want to know, why am I a sex addict? Well, what I can tell them is that we may be able to go back and find a number of things that have contributed to the sex addiction. But most likely we'll not be able to go back and say, here is the one event in your life, or here is the one factor that has resulted in you becoming a sex addict. Well, sex addiction is really an intimacy disorder. I think everyone has inside them a desire for intimacy. And often what happens with someone who has a sexual addiction or who is a sex addict, they are looking for intimacy, and instead of finding intimacy, they put other things in there to try to fill that void. And it may feel like intimacy, but it's really not. It's kind of a false intimacy. In fact, often what people do, they will substitute intensity for intimacy. And the more intense something is, you know, the higher high, the more they may feel like it's satisfying, but it's really empty. And to me, sex addiction is not defined by a particular behavior that a person does. You know, I'll have people come to me and say, you know, I've had an affair. I must be a sex addict. Well, that's not the definition of what makes a person a sex addict, having an affair or even having maybe more than one affair, or because somebody looks at pornography, they say, you know, I must be a sex addict. Well, maybe, but maybe not. It's true that a person may be involved in any one of those behaviors and be a sex addict, and yet at the same time, they could be doing those and not be a sex addict. I've got a real short screening tool that I use. Question one, have you ever engaged in behavior, sexual behavior, that's hurt you or somebody else? Question two, did you do it again? You know, and if the answer to both of those is true, then maybe they've got a problem. Maybe it's something they want to address. The things that I look for is the behavior out of control. Has a person tried to stop and found themselves unable to do it? Have they? Do they see the behavior progressing? Do they make promises to stop? Maybe even heartfelt promises to a wife, vows to God, I'll never do it again, and they mean it, only to find that they go back and do that behavior again and again. Oftentimes, sex addicts will be able to look back and find that with enough information, I mean, if they can really go back and look at their childhood objectively, may find that they've got a parent who's a sex addict, a mom or a dad, or a grandparent. And, you know, that by the time you get back to grandparents, if there is a sex addiction there, that's the family secret. In fact, most sex addicts know that the only reason they are in treatment for sex addiction is they finally were caught. So when they go back and look at their parents, they say, no, my dad's not a sex addict or my mom's not a sex addict. And yet, if we would ask that person's children if they thought they were a sex addict, they would say no, because they didn't see any evidence of it. An early exposure to pornography is another factor. Finding parents' pornography or going to spend the night with a friend and a friend brings out a box of pornography, or an older brother, an older sibling has some pornography. That early exposure to pornography has a profound impact, and even more so today. Now, people my age and older, the first pornography they saw was some airbrushed image, or frankly, people my age or older, it wasn't the airbrushed images, the old black and white detective magazines. It's something that with a big dark bar here and a dark bar obscuring part of the picture, and the imagination would just go wild with that. And yet now what kids see is very graphic. You know, it's the hardcore pornography. And that has a tremendous impact on a person's psyche. Other factors, abuse. And it's not just sexual abuse. It could be psychological abuse. Could be some kind of emotional abuse. I think a person's religion may play a part in it. It may be a significant factor. And, you know, there's not a religion anywhere in the world that would intentionally set someone up for being a sex addict. However, the more fundamental beliefs are, the more black and white, the more, you know, this is right, this is wrong, the more of that kind of mentality that a person gets from a religious system or from a church or any kind of worshiping body, the more of that, the more the idea that there's something wrong with sex, maybe sex is shameful, so it's something we don't talk about. Another factor, the lack of sex education. And I'm talking about parents giving their kids the proper explanations. You know, we usually think it's just the opposite. If somebody, they get sex education, maybe that's the thing that's going to encourage them to go be sexual. Well, that's not the case. It's the lack of that. In the vacuum that's there, a person will try to fill that void. They look for answers, and they get their sex education in a locker room or on a pornographic video. So these are some of the factors, and that's not by any means all of them. There are many things that could contribute to a person becoming a sex addict. You know, some people look at it as being primarily a moral problem. And certainly there's a moral aspect to it. And depending on a person's faith perspective, you know, that may be the thing that's the prime driver to them. You know, this is immoral behavior. Well, what I believe is, yes, the behavior is immoral, but the problem is there's an addiction going on. It's not that they don't know the difference between right and wrong. The problem is they go back and do those behaviors again that they find destructive, that they find hurtful, that hurt other people, and they don't want to do them, and they want to stop. I want them to know there's hope and that they can get free and stay free.
Now, I want to suggest, and then we're going to go to Apollo if he's still there in Naima's studio. I want to suggest that R. Kelly knew he had a problem at some point. I'm just throwing that out there. He had a problem. And as Brother Kwame said, sexual addiction is an illness. It's a disorder. And as the man just said, it's about a lack of intimacy in early in life. And so you're looking for intensity in your sexual experience, get high, whatever, because you have some issues as a young person that you haven't healed or dealt with. And so why didn't R. Kelly get help? Why didn't he feel hopeless, as this guy says, that most sex addicts eventually feel hopeless, feel like it's hopeless? But I tell you why he didn't get help or he was hopeless, because he had enough enablers, men and women, who built up his ego to a point where he didn't think he needed help anymore. He was good because everybody's falling at his feet, falling in his bed, sucking his whatever, and he's having a high flying time because nobody called him out. He had too many enablers saying, oh, this is okay, just keep the money flowing. All right, Naima, do you still have a caller there who wanted to speak? Naima, your mic is open.
It's Pianki. How you doing, Viata?
Hello. Pianki, well, I'm doing good. How about you? What sayest thou?
I got a question. Yeah, I got a question. The gentleman made mention about early introduction to pornography to young people can have later on life effects similar to what you have been told or revealed with R. Kelly. But what about these schools, these public schools, especially in these blue states, blue areas, where they are introducing certain things to children at a young age, speaking about sex, anal sex, having workshops where you have children as young as 12 attending them, and the subject matter is about fisting and whether you should swallow or spit it out. So how is – what's being said about those occurrences? And then you got teachers in early elementary grades taking rubber apparatuses, putting a condom on them, and getting on the desk and demonstrating how it should be used. This is going on in some public schools. So when is the outcry going to be leveled at these type of occurrences, which people say the introduction of pornographic and explicit descriptions to young people can result in long-term effects turning into what we see in R. Kelly? What are we going to do with that?
Okay, so Claire, what is your question exactly?
Well, yeah, I just asked, what about those things I just got through mentioning? They're going on in the classroom.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's an excellent point, because I think that goes that we can direct our thoughts and our minds to the idea of gender imbalance, okay? Yeah, you're right. We've got a homosexual, we've got LGBTQ running things lately. having men going into schools dressing up as women and talking about what a good thing it is to be a woman and you're a man and all that. Yeah, lots of confusion. You see, so right. There's so much confusion now in the public schools and everywhere about the LGBTQ and sexuality. And so as we started out and from the beginning, our intention is to start balancing the divine feminine and masculine energy in all of us. That's why we're talking not just about R. Kelly, who had an imbalance and an illness. As we want to point out, he had an illness, a disorder from not having the divine intimacy. So I think it'd be better to put R. Kelly in schools and teach kids about what not to do to end up in prison versus putting him away for life and not having people learn the lessons that he learned and didn't kill anybody, and then having all these groupie women come out and say what their experience of why they were going after these superstars. What did they get out of it? What are the pros and cons of being a groupie? And why we need a hashtag MeToo movement? Because all of us are fucked up. I'm using that right. Because we all come from these dysfunctional families where we had alcoholic parents. We had parents sexually abusing us. There's all these dysfunctions that are playing out, as Bianchi just said, in our education system, where nobody's looking at balancing the divine feminine and male energy. No, they're looking at bringing their agenda, their homosexual agenda, or their pornographic agenda. We got a lot of work to do, we don't just have a spiritual battle with the pharmaceutical companies, the most corrupt corporations in the country, in the world. We got a battle with them. We got a battle with our stupid government doing what they getting ready to. We'll go to the break, but I have to bring a headline that says Biden wants to give $6 billion to the Afghan refugees when they come to America. And somebody broke that down. I think it was the brother of Your Black World said that's like over $100,000 per person when you estimate how many Afghan. Now we love Afghans. We love people in general. But why are we giving $6 billion from government money, U.S. taxpayer money to Afghans when we're not doing much for our own citizens? So anyway, let me be quiet. We're going to go to our last break. And when we come back, I have a testimony from a groupie. We need to hear from the groupie's point of view. And after the break, we have some callers. But you got to hear this testimony from a sex addict and why and how she struggled in that role. As we play these roles, I played the role of a groupie. I'm 66. I'm beyond that. I played that role when I was like 20, I think. So we all, if you have that experience, you can learn from it. You can grow from it. You can help other people come out of it. And we're going to go back to Kwame, too. So, Naima, go ahead with the
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep,
frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
The confession of a female sex addict. This is important as we balance female-male divine energy and really hopefully come to the realization that R. Kelly is not the problem. R. Kelly is not the conflict, but in our mind, we have said that what R. Kelly did was a crime and he needs to be punished when really he had an illness like so many other people on this planet. He had a disorder from a lack of intimacy. And here's just one testimony from a female about her sex addiction.
Sex addiction. For me, that came in the form of unprotected sex with people I did not know. You know, I wouldn't be able to pick them out of a lineup now. I knew something was wrong with me for years, but I didn't know what it was. I really felt alone and lost, and I became hopeless. Addiction is a genetic brain disease. It's hereditary, passed down through generations. I was born an addict. Every addict is born an addict. It's just whether or not that is going to be triggered into active acting out.
For years, Jay struggled with an addiction with no clear understanding of what had caused it.
Sex addiction is really confusing for a lot of people, even those of us in it. It has nothing to do with sex. Now that I look back, I can see how gradual it was. In the beginning, that was more like fantasy and masturbation. Mind you, I was like 5. I was imagining like all of my favorite cartoon characters having sex with one another. I didn't understand why at the time. Over the years, pornography played a huge part in my addiction. Infidelity was a big part. I didn't understand boundaries. I had no intimate or emotional connection with sex at all. Later in my addiction, it had to be more dangerous, more risky, more painful. For me, sex almost never felt good. I was using my behavior to not even feel better, but to just be numb from the pain that I was feeling. When I first started having, I guess they're kind of like flashbacks, they were really vague. I knew my dad had gone through abuse. He had told us about abuse in his childhood, physical abuse, emotional abuse. My parents had been divorced my whole life, and I wasn't really in my dad's care until about 4. And then we started going on like vacation to stay at his house. So at first he would have me watch pornography with him. And then it transitioned to acting out the scenes. You know, like the people on the TV, like it was a cool thing. I can remember just staring at the door, hoping that the light would turn off, that one of my sisters would come. But they never did.
and I don't remember him telling me, but I knew I wasn't allowed to cry either. And so I just had to be there and take it, and I never told anybody. And I would just wake up the next morning and pretend like nothing happened. And it's weird because you think that then I would hate my dad. But kids don't. That's my protector. That's somebody I trusted. And I still loved him. All of that stuff I repressed. The worst part is that when it stopped with no explanation. And so all of a sudden, I was not worthy anymore. I wasn't special anymore. And I'm glad, obviously, that it stopped. But I would spend the rest of my life trying to be worthy again. And I was taught at 5 that my worth came from what someone could take from my body. And I continued thinking that and believing it. I wasn't in healthy relationships. I didn't think I was worth anything. And so I felt I had to make it really, really easy for them in order to have them be with me. So when I was at a point of suicide, it wasn't that I was in all these crazy behaviors. It was that I was completely isolated and shut off entirely. It was really, really dark.
It was during her darkest moment that Jace finally sought help and went to a group meeting for addicts. It was at this point that she started working towards putting her addiction behind her.
So I decided that I was going to stop having sex and start learning about it. And I figured I probably shouldn't put myself back in that situation until I could do it in a healthy way. So I started my project, Suddenly Celibate, and spent the next couple of years going around the U.S. and talking to different experts in the field of.
So that woman had a totally different outcome than R. Kelly, because R. Kelly could sing, and R. Kelly could stimulate women, and R. Kelly had a lot of people helping him make a lot of money, putting him out in the spotlight, and his illness was covered over with drugs and women and lots of sex. So if we can start looking at people like R. Kelly as having a disease or an illness and seek rehabilitation instead of accusing him of racketeering where nobody gets killed, then maybe we'll start healing the divine feminine and masculine energy. But until then, we're going to always be looking at a system that wants to punish especially black men, a system that is so corrupt.
Unmuted.
There's no excuse for anything they do these days. So, Naima, you said we have 2 callers, and then we're going to go back to Kwame in the studio. Go ahead.
Greetings. This is Maika. Thank you for having this show.
Greetings, Maika.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, I just want to affirm 2 things that you said. First of all, the pathology is not the root cause of the problem. We like to focus on the pathology, but it's very important to get to the root cause of problems. Secondly, you said that it's a disease or an illness and not a crime, and I agree with you. People are being locked up when they are sick. It's like locking up somebody who has cancer or, a fear, a strong fear of cats or something like that. It has to be treated. The problem becomes that we live in a system. Most people operate within a system that has dead ends that says this can't be cured. And this can't be cured, and this can't be cured, but amazingly, COVID can, But anyway,
right.
So that's the problem. And we have to step out of that system in order to realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there are so many sex addicts out there. It's probably about 80 to 90% of the people in the world are sex addicts. About 80% of the people come from the lineage of studs, and the sexual perversity of slavery still exists within their genetic line, and it needs to be healed,
yes.
And it can be healed. And that's what we need to focus on. Thank you, Viata, for the show. Peace.
Those are very potent and wise words. It needs to be healed. R. Kelly needs to be healed, along with women who participated in the R. Kelly enterprise. We have another caller, I believe, in the Female Solution Studio.
Greetings and much love, family. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome, Brother Eddie Harris, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How are you doing, my dear sister, and to the family? Yes, I'm going to make this short.
Thank you.
Okay, it's great. I'm going to make this short. Basically, Kwame touched on a saying that we've all heard, that hurt people hurt other people. And what we're looking at right now is, even in the video that you played dealing with the addiction of the sister, she is still in pain. And that's basically where everything stems from. We're in pain and we haven't addressed the pain. By number, pain comes to one.
Yes.
By number, you come to one. By number, self comes to one. It's you, self, that is in pain that we have not addressed, because the hearts of all of us have been damaged one way or another. But right quick, let me break the word pain down from the acronym perspective that I put it in. And basically, P is poverty. And when we look at poverty, it's not that you're broke or you don't have this, that, and the other, but even dealing with R. Kelly, the parents subjected their female daughters because of what? Money, poverty. They failed, as the brother said, R. Kelly was a come up. So again, it's the poverty mindset, belief that they're in, that they could use their daughters to basically hand over to this man for money. A has three factors that we've been talking about. A is abandonment, A is abuse, and A is addiction. And we've all been through some type of abandonment, abuse, or addiction by others or ourselves. I is the ignorance that I keep hearing throughout the program. And N is neglect. That is the pain that we're in. Poverty, abuse, abandonment, addiction, ignorance, and neglect. Because we've either been neglected or we're neglecting
what they've done with their father and what his sickness has done.
Unmuted.
And so we're looking at how, what is the chances of those two sons or even that daughter and being, and what has happened with them seeing this, what is that going to do to them, and how are they going to be the next either victims or the self-esteem that they will have to deal with? But the other part, what the brother was calling in about teaching what they were teaching in elementary schools or middle schools, is that this LGBT community and the things in which they're doing is that. But what we're looking at, this is a new genocide process. If we can get you to stop reproducing, because even with all of those groupies that R. Kelly had, how many of them bore children?
I mean, all of those groupies
for 10 years, where are the children from all of that groupying?
Yeah, all that groupying. I don't think they're... There were any, but that's an excellent point. And you know what it reminds me of? There's a documentary called Blood Brothers about Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, and it's the children of those men that are bringing peace and harmony back about into the lives of those two powerful men, Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. Their children have made a decision to promote their fathers in a way that, number one, we learned lessons. If you watch Blood Brothers on that, we learned a lot of lessons about the relationship that these two men had And it's the children who are helping us understand that relationship and bring some peace
right.
and love to. And that's what you're saying about R. Kelly, that his children are still alive. There's his children here. And it's up to us to bring some peace and harmony and understanding about what happened to R. Kelly. And the picture is big. It's not just about sex in the bedroom. That's not what this is about. And what women and the victim mind, here's the victim mind. The conflict is in the victim minds of all those women who for the most part willingly got in that bed with him. So that's where we need healing. Because all of them are sick, in my opinion, that they were even involved in all that. They had some degree of disorder in their minds and their psyche. Naeem, is Eddie Harris back? I know he dropped off, but if he wanted to finish what he was saying, we can bring Eddie
yes.
back. Is Eddie Harris still in the studio?
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Go ahead. Sorry you got dropped out of the picture.
Yeah, I was like, what happened there? So I just got grooving with Brother Kwame, which is great. But again, at the end of the day, it's all of our hearts have been damaged, which means we all have blemishes
yes.
on the heart. And if we don't repair
yes.
the blemish, it stays there. It doesn't go anywhere until we correct those problems.
That's right.
So we okay. have to deal with that pain that comes from the heart, because even that tape from that sex addiction sister was talking about the love that she still had from her father. So it's the pain
yes.
in the heart
wow.
that we have that have been damaged, especially by loved ones or people that we care about, who we feel care about us, who basically throw us out there. As for me, that's what the parents to these young girls did. They put them, they presented them out there. These girls couldn't get there without the parents
right.
taking them there, without the parents' approval of them staying with R. Kelly, what have you. See, so let's start putting the blame where it should be. And like you said, it takes two, baby, it takes two.
Yeah.
So R. Kelly didn't do it by himself. Even if the
right,
young
right.
girls didn't truly understand, their parents did. They already knew the
yes.
backdrop or the backline of R. Kelly's so-called past, be it what they knew or what they heard. They still put their children out there to actually be exploited. They did this. So
yes.
with that, that's
yes.
basically
Hallelujah.
All I had to say with that. Thank you and better love to
thank
the family.
You. Thank you. Yeah, that's a higher perspective, higher knowledge, and that's where we have to go. We do not need any more black men in prison for crimes that didn't kill somebody. We need to put some of these white men like Fauci. I keep saying that because I get so pissed, and then I have to calm down and breathe. So we're going to do some breathing about all the men, all the Caucasians all over the world who are trying to kill us, in my opinion, and reduce the population. And here we are focusing on R. Kelly, who has a sickness, who has a disease, and all the women enablers who put him in that sickness, who helped him have that sickness and disease. And so with time for us to really focus, go inward, meditate. Let's do a little meditation before we go and breathe about our body. Earth, my body. Water, my blood. Air, my breath. And fire, my spirit. Let's go inward for a little bit, because that's why we have the confusion and the disorder and the lack of unity between the male and female divine energy, because we're not going in enough and taking the breath, using the breath. So let's just, everybody, you will take a moment. Oh, no, that's not. Take a moment to close your eyes and take in the divine energy.
Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. I like
like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me. She likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me. She likes to hold me. I care irresistible loving. I make love to the breeze. I care irresistible the bone. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind. I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. Earth, my body, water, my body, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood. Earth, my body, earth, my body, water, my blood. Air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
Hallelujah. Let us all go out. Listen, understand, validate your brothers and sisters. Stop this division that man has created so they can conquer us. Love, listen, understand, validate. We're all needing healing these days. So thank you so much. I hope you share this with others. Come back tomorrow morning, Zelda Robinson's Hell. We'll be back.
We've come to the end of our show today.
Hallelujah.
You can hear every.
We're going to say thank you to our global family. And wish you all a
beautiful solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain,
yes.
Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya,
Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.